Right.
He can use them.
Somebody who has a watch, can you tell me when we've got 5 minutes left to go in class?
Sure.
Thank you, Deacon. All right. Hey, please.
Our Father in Heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you again for this week and the amazing blessings that you've already filled it with. We thank you for the teachers that you put in place here to that have been preparing so hard to share with us what they've learned from your word. We thank you for your word, particularly Proverbs, and the great help that it is to us. Please help us to learn what you want us to learn from it, and to grow in love toward one another, Lord, and to respect and fear your word. This we pray in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, in just a minute, you guys are going to pick what we're going to study today, because we don't have time to do all of these topics, so I'm going to let you guys pick some of the days what we do. But as you flip through this, I want you to think about the structure of Proverbs. Some sections of Proverbs, you have a narrative, like Sophia Wisdom crying out in the street, you know, in her frustration and desperation, trying to get people's attention, or the foolish youth. Being pulled away like an ox to the slaughter by the adulterer, or at the end, the worthy woman. But in parts of Proverbs, it just comes in fun-sized snack bites, right? And so, bam, there's a good verse about debt or money. Bam, there's a verse about, you know, the tongue. Bam, there's a verse about, you know, anger. And so, compiling some of those together, we've got some categories of things that are addressed. So, if you flip through your paper, we have value of correction, we got pride. I do want to make sure that we address that sometime this week. We got gossip, other sins of the tongue, like lying and strife. We got maliciousness and revenge, we got envy. We got anger. There's a lot of Proverbs on that. We've got adultery. Down the road, you got child discipline. A lot of stuff in Proverbs about that. You got drunkards, contentious, foolish wives, worthy wives, and then slothfulness and irresponsibility. I want us to be sure to get that sometime in depth. But for today, pick one of those, and that's what we'll work on today. So which one?
Can I get here?
There you go. So what's the topic that you guys would like to look at? We'll hear two or three topics and then we'll kind of have you both.
Yes, slothfulness.
Alright, we got a vote for slothfulness.
Drunkards.
What's that?
Drunkards.
Drunkards? We've got drunkards and sloths. Alright, let's go with those two. How many want sloths? How many want drunkards? All right, so let's do sloths. And if we have time, you know, watch how I said the next part. We'll get to the truth. To the drunkards. All right. We'll get to studying. All right, slothfulness and irresponsibility. Okay, there's a little cartoon there. You see our quite the prize of a husband, and what's he say to his wife while he doesn't answer the phone?
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Another dream won't fix.
Oh, I think you're on the wrong page. Swap. Oh,
you
better.
<it.
laughs>
That's a creditor. I'm not home. If it's work, I'm sick in bed. If it's your mom, tell her we need more money.
Okay. Please don't be that guy. On so many levels, don't be that guy. All right. And this is really kind of important right now. And let's talk about what's going on in our country right now. Has anybody had trouble getting parts, getting services, getting food? Give me a few examples. We'll start off with Justin. Justin, what did you
know? My van is in the Honda shop right now waiting for parts that are on back order.
Yeah. And why would the parts be on back order? Because 3 years ago, the Honda would have said, boom, we got the parts, boom, boom, bam, bam, and been out the door. Yeah. Why?
Nobody's making them.
Why aren't people making parts? Who else wants to give an example?
The AC unit at our church building has been out for months, and
is not going to be fixed because we can't get the part.
Driving through a town at about 9 p.m., almost actually every fast food restaurant was already closed.
Yeah. And why? Because they don't want to make money. They don't have enough people to work. So I was coming back through Alabama, from Alabama a few weeks ago, and I wanted to get a Crystal hamburger. You know, we don't have them in Pennsylvania. They're not that great, but they're kind of like one every once in a while. I pull in. I can't go inside. There's a sign. Shortage of staff. We can't have them inside. We don't have enough people. I get the drive-thru. There's a sign begging people to work for them. I get to the thing. They said, it's going to take us 20, 25, or maybe 30 minutes to get to your order. They were so understaffed. And then last week, I needed tires before coming up here. I used to get my tires at Sam's Club. I think, okay, this afternoon I'm going to go get tires. I look online to see if they've got the kind I want. And it's like, have to order, out of stock, have to order. So I called, I said, do you have any tires in my size? They said, it wouldn't matter if we did or not. We've only got one full-time employee. And so we're backed up for 2 weeks, you know, and one full-time employee and one part-time for the whole auto tire part of a busy Sam's Club. They said, we can't get anybody to work. And I'm in a lower-income part of town, and we're talking about prices, you know, picking up a used fridge. And I said, yeah, price is up. And the guy, he points it out and says, yeah, because everybody's getting money and nobody wants to work. And so it's a huge problem. And like what I had to do about tires, I got some used tires off of Facebook Marketplace. And if stuff continues like this, people are going to have to more and more find a do-it-yourself video on YouTube, because you can't find somebody that's going to do it for you, or, you know, barter, or some other things. And the problem is because businesses all over the country, they can't find people that want to work. And why? And everybody knows why. Why can't they find people that want to work? Yeah. Like, I was at Napa the other day, and the guy said, if I was on unemployment, I would be making more money sitting at home, and I'm the manager.
Oh, wow.
So, we're just giving out money. So I was joking the other day, you know, why doesn't the government just go ahead and, you know, send out a file to everybody where we can just print our own 20s, you know? the government, instead of having all this other stuff, just give you a file and you just print off your own 20s. What would happen? The price of everything would go way up. And what else would happen?
Nobody
would work. Who would be doing well? The ink companies. Except then you would have a problem. You wouldn't be able to get any ink. Because the ink factory would have one employee who, for some reason, he's still got to work after or something. And he's sitting there and he's got all these ink orders backed up for 5 years, trying to hand them all, and he's going to be in a really bad mood. So this is a really big problem right now. So let's start off. Somebody start with chapter 6 and read verse 6 through 11.
Go to the end, you sluggard, consider a way to be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides your supplies in the summer and gathers your food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come to you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man.
Right. You guys ever watch ants on the ground? Ever seen an ant just chilling out? What are ants always doing? Yeah, they're going somewhere. They may be going up this side of the leaf to go down that side of the leaf, but they're busy. You ever knock over an anthill? You know, you're walking along and you're between the sidewalk and you come back the next day and what? Yeah. And they did that one grain at a time. It's like, those are busy things. So go to the ant, thou sluggard. Comments or discussion on that?
I appreciate verse 7. Like, nobody has to tell the ant to do it.
There was when Joe was talking about the different types of workers, and I've been both types. I know what he's talking about. But I had a friend of mine. I was down in North Florida, and he's a really cool older guy. And Lucas, you remember when I had him talk to you and Zach over the Zoom? And he talked to you and he said, he was talking about boys shouldn't be what kind of animal?
Slinking lizards.
He said, don't be slinking lizards. He said, because, you know, that when there's a job to be done, they slink out of the way. And yeah, an ant, it doesn't wait to be told. Because so there's some people, you tell them what to do and they don't do it. You know, who is the faithful and wise servant when his master comes back and finds himself doing? But if he comes back and he's just drunk and, you know, misbehaving. So some people, you tell them what to do, they don't do it. Some people, they won't do what there needs to be done until somebody says, you have to do this. And some people, they're just looking for what needs to be done. Do you know somebody in that third category? Describe somebody you know that's in that third category.
Kitchen staff?
Yeah. Yeah. John Bosworth. It's like, I've known John a long time, and he's just a doer on all sorts of levels. All sorts of levels. Anybody else got an example you want to share with us?
I like verse 8. Where it says, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. As much as I think that, yes, where it talks about don't wear any food or don't wear any clothes. Yeah, don't wear any food. Don't wear any clothes. Don't bring extras with you. Just the Lord will provide that. There's also a practical sense of like faith without works is dead. And you can tell that, yes, there is an element of faith to that. But you also need to be practical.
Yes.
You can't just leave everything to God.
So let me tell you about Hanson. I've met Hanson now 3 times. I'm working down in Harrisburg with Stephen and Chase. And the first time I met Hanson was Chase was teaching class and Hanson wandered into the hallway. And so somebody's out and so I go and I meet Hanson. So Hanson is homeless. And he's, you know, he wants to be out of his dirty clothes. He needs a shot. He wants a shower. You know, he's homeless. And one of the new converts, the lady y'all baptized last year, I guess, was real nice and offered, you know, he can go to my house and take a shower. But I didn't know his background, and this is an older woman alone, so I said, well, I don't know his whole background. And sure enough, I got in the car with him, and I'm going to take him to a truck stop. Because the place I picked up there, I was working on the well, and it didn't have water yet, so I hadn't had a shower either. The thrift stores are closed, so I can't get him any clothes. By the way, you know where you can get a shower if you're homeless? Truck stop. You know where else you can get a shower? In the river. We're a block from the river. It's a nice shallow river. I said, you can go to the Dollar Tree and for a dollar, buy a bottle of, you know, body wash or whatever. And at a time of day, early morning or whatever, when people aren't around, just get down in there. You can launder your clothes and get a bath at the same time. This guy's been homeless for a long time. He said, I never heard of that. I said, you've been homeless for years and you've never known you can bathe in a river? When I was in Haiti, I found out real quick about bathing in a river. There was no running water, and so I bathed in a river. That's what your ancestors did. They bathed in a river. Then he started complaining about why God didn't give him sense to have plumbing back then. You know. But I asked him, I said, I said, he said, I've spent the last 35, most of the last 35 years in prison. And I said, same charge or different charges? Usually the same charge. I said, what was it? Robbery. Okay, at this point, I'm glad I didn't take him over to Nancy's. You know? And so I get him, so I drive 20 minutes to get to Carlisle to the truck stop. Right? And I'm talking with him, and I'm explaining a work concept to him. Because everywhere in town is hiring. You know, you'll see a plumbing place hiring plumbers. You'll see Popeyes hiring Popeyes. Everybody's hiring just about. What's the problem when you're homeless? You don't have an address. And so you go in and apply for the job. They want you to fill out your name and your address. And if you don't have a home where you're going to bathe, and they don't, Popeyes probably doesn't want you coming in unbathed to work in the kitchen, you know, and that type of thing. So I said, here's what you do. I said, everybody is low on staff. I said, you start going around the parking lots. Find a parking lot where there's trash and weeds and stuff, and you tell them, I'm going to clean your parking lot. And if you want to, afterwards you can pay me what you think it's worth. You don't owe me anything, you can pay me what you think it's worth. And just clean that parking lot. And then do another. And if they don't pay anything, they didn't pay anything. But if you give 5, 10, 20, 30 bucks, that's money in your pocket. And if you do a good job, guess what they might say? Again, realize how understaffed everybody is. If you've got a business and you're short 4 employees, everybody, and you can't get it all done, would you like that parking lot clean? And so you might say, hey, come back next week. I said, and you just keep doing that and you find different places. And you line up several places until you get several places say come back next week, and you line that up. Maybe then they'll let you clean, you know, you can clean bathrooms and different things. Get you a place, get an address, get a job. He says, I'm gonna do that. I get to the truck stop. He goes, I don't have my shower shoes. I said, I don't either, but I need a shower too. I'm going to get a shower. Well, I'm not going in there without my shower shoes. And he started talking about athlete's foot. He took pride in his appearance and everything. And he won't go in there. So I learned an update to the old expression. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it take a shower. So I brought Hanson back. Drove him back to Harrisburg and let him out. Then one day I'm doing street work and I'm going along and I see this guy and he looks a little better because he found a shelter that would let him take a shower but not sleep there. And are you Hanson? Yeah. And I said, remember me? I'm the guy. He said, oh yeah. And he asked for, you know, some money. I said, I fed you supper the other day. You know, I gave you a work idea. Did you do that? No. So 3 days ago, Chase and I are out, going down the street. Guess what I see coming? There's Hanson, you know? And it's like, I'm saying, listen, I said, winter's coming. This is what reminded me of this, the end. Right now, Hanson can get away with sleeping outside somewhere because what's the temperature like? What's coming in November? December? January? I said, right, you've got a golden opportunity. You need to use this time now. You know, do that. I said, have you done it? No. And he walked away. And he's like, yeah, I know it's coming. But he's not prepared. And so he said, yeah, he didn't want to hear that. And they take care of the business. Okay? And if you don't, the first time I met Hanson, whose fault was it? This shelter said they didn't have any beds. This shelter wouldn't let him stay there. And he was talking about his, you know, childhood and his dad and stuff. And so it's always whose fault? Yeah. Don't be that guy. Go to the end. That was a long story, but it was interesting. And you know what? I don't think he's going to be ready come winter. All right. Somebody read 10, 4 through 5. Somebody have 12, 27. somebody get 13, 4. Just look down the list there and let's do all these. Who's got 10, 4, and 5?
Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich.
Why is that so?
Someone who doesn't do what they're supposed to do is going to become poor.
Yeah. You get tired of the person that won't do the job right, and they lose the job. And then when they try to get another job, you're asked what? Where did you work last? And if they give a call, and they call Don, and they say, yeah, you know, we've got an application for Evan Mitchell. What kind of worker is it? That doesn't speak real well. But how many of you have noticed that in your job now, that when you do a good job, it's appreciated? Anybody want to relate some of that?
Well, with my job, there's always, you know, you can have the slowest day and everyone gets all like the chores stuff, the list done pretty quick. But if you have a busy day, everyone's scrambling, and like people really appreciate when you just go ahead and do it. And like my boss hates to see someone standing around, so like they appreciate when someone steps up and gets the stuff done.
Yeah, and so later, when there's like an assistant manager position or something open, who's he going to be looking for? Yeah, and or manager position or something else. There's a lot of people. Some of the coolest people in business are the people that started way down here and learned the business and worked their way up. I've got a friend, Jonathan, and I have a friend who, he never went to college, and he grew up in a really rough part of Baltimore. And a rough life growing up. But he just, whatever trade he could, he learned. And his philosophy was, the more skills you have, you'll never be out of a job. And when he goes to work in a place, he doesn't just do his job, then he learns how to do this, and that, and just becomes valuable. And so they made him a manager. They put him in charge. But he decided he didn't like the mental stress of that part, so after a while, he decided he didn't want to do that. But he just applies himself to what he does. And people appreciate that. All right, next verse, 12:27.
The lazy do not roast any game, but the diligent feed on the riches of the hunt.
The lazy does not roast his game. What's going on there?
Too much work.
Yeah, so you've killed your squirrel or your rabbit. It sure would be tasty if you did what? Skin it, gut it, make a little stick, build a little spit, start a fire, roast it. Man, that's a lot of work. chapter 13, verse 4. Somebody read that.
The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing. The soul of a diligent, shall be rich.
Yeah. Do lazy people not have desires and wants? Yeah, they got wants. And who's to fill? Who do they think is to fulfill all their wants? Yeah. It's like, yeah. There's nothing we need to keep in mind. There are people that we need to help that actually, for some reason or other, like the lame man at the temple gate, are not in a position to work. And we need to help them. That's an entirely different thing. But that's not what a lot of what's going on. So like when I'm doing street work, I'll have nutrition bars and water in my backpack. And I don't take my wallet. Anybody want to know why? No, not worried about pickpocketing.
Some people ask if you have money, you can honestly say no.
Yeah. Because out on the street, somebody asks for money very, very often. Where's that money going to go?
Drugs
and alcohol habit. I don't want to subsidize drugs and alcohol habit, but if somebody says they're hungry or thirsty, I give them nutrition bars and water. I remember one time I picked up a homeless guy and he needed a ride, and I was taking him to another town, and he said, I haven't eaten in 3 days. And we had some like bagels from, you know, they were over extended date and they were free somewhere. I said, well, I got some you know, old bagels here or something. I don't want your bagel. I don't want bagels unless they're toasted. What was it? Buttered and slightly toasted or something like that. You know what that is? That is not a man who has not eaten food in 3 days. Let's keep reading. Who's got 14:4?
Where no ox are, the manger is clean, but much revenue comes by the strength of the ox.
That's a really interesting verse. Think about that for a minute. What's the first part say?
Where no ox are, the crib is clean.
So you're a farmer. Here's the crib. There's no ox in it. Is there some advantages to that for you?
Clean it.
Yeah, you know, I have to clean it. Any manure in there to clean up? Anything? Nice. Well done. Way to go, Farmer Josh. How are the crops coming? yeah. And so the next part of the verse says what?
Much revenue comes by the strength of the ox.
Yeah. Because if you have that ox, as a farmer, what's that ox going to be useful for? Yeah, that's going to be your tractor. You just name that ox John Deere. And that's going to allow you to do a whole lot more. You're going to be able to produce a lot more food, which will feed you, and then you can feed the needy, and you can make profit in different things. I mean, if you got the ox, you're going to have to put it, and if you got a John Deere tractor, it's going to need some maintenance, some oil change. You know, all that zombie.
I think one thing that really comes down to is what you value more. Do you value the things that you need or comfort and convenience more? And so if you value comfort and convenience more, that's your decision, but you're not going to have what you need. If you value what you need, you're going to put in the work and discomfort and convenience and those sorts of things.
Yeah. Part of this is the difference between immediate gratification and patience. So in James, it says, with patience, you know, the farmers wait for the earlier and the latter rain. I believe I would have been a more productive, you know, worker physically if I would have been raised on a farm. How many of you were raised on a farm? Anybody? All right. So, what do you learn when you're raised on a farm? Like time-wise. Like, on the farm, do you get to sleep in as late as you want to, and then wake up and watch funny YouTube videos for a few hours, and then play?
In the summer, if I was still in bed by 8, my dad would open the door and say the day's half over. And
what were some things you had to do?
Picking up sticks, mucking out stables, bush hogging, trimming.
Yeah. And then after the work is done, is there fun stuff to do on a farm? You worked on a farm, Jonathan, right? You didn't grow up on one, but you worked on one. What are some things that you can do on a farm that's fun?
Ride horses.
Yeah, ride horses.
Fishing.
Four wheeling, fishing.
I take care of goats, man. There's some baby goats, man. They're real cute. Not so much, but maybe
they're
real fun and real cute when they're young.
Yeah. But there's a sense of what responsibility comes first and privilege comes next. So if you go back and you think about the history of this country, we were an agricultural country largely back in the 1800s, and people just work ethic was part of what you had to do as a kid. Farmers had a bunch of kids, and sometimes farmers had a bunch of kids because they wanted farmhands they didn't have to pay. And it's true. And people grew up working and stuff, and then people got more into the city, and then people got to, 100 years ago, it was the 1920s, and what was the 20s known as? The Roaring 20s, because it was a party generation. And what's known as the greatest generation in American culture? The 40s, the people in the 40s. Something came in between there that made that possible. Because if everything that happened in the 40s had landed on that partying generation, they wouldn't have been up for it. What happened in the 30s? Yeah, starting in 1929, the stock market crashed, and you also had the dust bowls up, and things were hard. And my grandma that grew up in the Depression, and she had to sometimes be the mule because the father was gone. He was a scoundrel. They lost the mule. And, I mean, they used to be the first family in town that had a car, and now they're the family that doesn't have a dad, doesn't have a mule, and she would have to be the mule while her sister plowed, and then swap back and forth doing that. And that one could work. When I was 80 years old, I went and visited her. I was about 40, she was 80. And she had some stuff that she wanted, some plants and stuff pulled out, and I was struggling trying to keep up with her. I think she knew it was a race. I knew it was a race. I was trying to keep up. And I'm hurried, but this woman, this 80-year-old woman, I mean, she was a beast on that stuff. The 30s helped strengthen people. Then after the war, the GIs came back. And you know what they wanted? They wanted their kids to have it easy. They didn't want their kids to have it as bad as they had growing up. And so they got the job and the house and the picket fence, and the kids, you know, got to wear their, you know, cowboy hats and stuff and watch TV and play and stuff. And then you get, and it was about prosperity and moving up in the neighborhood and everything, and more for the kids. And then you get the 60s, and those kids are sick and tired of capitalism and commercialism and all this, and you get the rebellion of the 60s, and we just had a bunch of weird things going on in this country. But one of the things that we need to remember is just the value of work. All right? Chapter 16, verse 26.
The person who labors, labors for himself, for his hungry mouth drives him on.
Yeah, so this is what's happening right now. We've got all these stimulus checks, and I've heard some kids down in Alabama, they're just, yeah, stimmy money. You know, this is what they heard from their parents, I guess. So everybody's getting the stimmy money and other things, and then they're padding the unemployment and everything. So people aren't working, but they're not hungry. What's the verse say will motivate a person to work? Yeah, well, if you just start giving out a bunch of free food, who's going to work for it? Thanks. All right. Somebody read 18, verse 9.
Mr.
Pat? Yeah. Oh, thank you, thank you.
Whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys.
What does that mean? Yeah, like in a church. If everybody's lazy and slack and not put, is that going to destroy the church? Yeah, if there's a business, if this is a business, Grady's the boss and he's hired all of us, and we are, what kind of business?
Burger joint,
okay, big burger joint. And none of us are doing a very good job. When we clean the bathroom, we just like, good enough. You know, we're not hustling at the drive-thru, we're not serving, we're all just kind of going through the motions. What's going to happen to your business? Yeah, being slack in your labor is like being the destroyer. If somebody else could burn his business down, we're doing the same thing. It's just on a slow burn. All right, next verse. 19, verse 15.
Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger.
All right, chapter 19, verse 24.
The sluggard buries his hand in the dish and will not even bring it back to his mouth.
Okay. This is bad lazy. Ready? That food's just too heavy. Yeah. Oatmeal is just way too heavy. 15. I don't know, we already did that. 24, verse 30 through 32.
Cast by the field of the sluggard, and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense, and behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles. it, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I reflected upon it, I looked, and received instruction.
What instruction do you learn by looking at that?
Maintenance
requires work, but not doing the maintenance, man, that will cost you. Chapter 24, 33-34. Somebody, a little theater might work good for this verse as you read it. 24, 33-34.
A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then your poverty will come as a robber, and your wants like an armed man.
And then 26:13-14.
The lazy man says, there is a lion in the road. Fierce lion is in the streets. As the door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed.
Is it easy to find an excuse why not to do a job? Okay, I'll do that today. Well, it's hot today. I'll wait today so it's not so hot. Okay. Oh, it's cold today. Oh, it's raining today. It's too sunny today, I guess. You can always find an excuse not to do something. So in this culture, stand out. You know, and by the way, have y'all enjoyed work ethic class? I have too. That's been cool. These camps were started by Sewell Hall, this concept, and Gary's duplicated this basic thing up in Indiana, and Joe's duplicated this here. And there's so much good about it, and I just love it. But this one edition, I think, is really, really, really valuable. And I noticed today when they announced it was time for the work ethic class, for the kids too.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Why?
Because we love it. It's fun.
Yeah. And as men, isn't there something valuable about accomplishing something? Do you appreciate lunch more after you've just been out there and accomplished some stuff?
Mm-hmm.
What are some other things that we, hey, does it benefit Joe and Don and John in the camp? Yes, it does. But what are some other things that we get out of work? Yes! Yes! Physical exercise. We were on the street the other day, we met this little old lady, 77 years old, and she was complaining about all these people that sit around and won't do anything. 77 years old. She goes down, like, pretty much touches her toe, got real close anyway. Put one leg, I'm not limber enough to do it at all. She put one leg up in the air out here and reached out and maybe touched her toe or nearly did on one leg at age 77. And she's talking about all these lazy people sitting around and stuff. It's good for you. What else?
Free gym.
Yeah. I just, you get an exercise without having to pay membership.
Satisfaction of a job well done.
Yes. There is a satisfaction with a job well done, and Adam was put in the garden before the curse came. He was put in the garden to work it. Chapter 2, I think it's verse 25. Put in the garden to work it, ESV. We're made to work, and there's satisfaction in work. What else do you get out of it?
Ownership.
Yes. Yeah, it's like if you're working on your section and you start, you want that section good. If something messes it up, you want to what?
Fix it.
Yeah, you want to fix that and get that done right. I'll pick up Luke from work sometimes. And he wants to make sure he's got this right and stuff because he's responsible for certain sections. And so he's, you know, ownership and wanting to do it right. What else do you get?
Experience and some wisdom. If you're working outside, and you just push yourself and have a diet
heat stroke. Yeah, so years ago, a buddy of mine was putting a ventilation system in his house for a furnace. He needed help, so I went and helped him do it. I didn't get paid anything, but I learned how to build a ventilation system. So when my old rusty boiler and went out, I cut out all the radiators, cut out all the pipes, cut out the furnace, got it out of there, and I built my own ventilation system. And then he came and poured cement, and I had some plumbers hook up the new furnace. That is like when you help somebody do something, you learn a skill. That's valuable. And it gives us a chance to give back. Because think how much the kitchen staff and Joe and John and everybody are doing for us and stuff. And when we're out there doing work ethics class, we're getting to do what? And does it feel good?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's better to
give
than
receive.
Yeah. So, let's not be slinking lizards. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.